On May 8th, former Colorado Senator Gary Hart, more than 20 percentage points ahead of his nearest competitor in the race for the 1988 Democratic presidential nomination, drops out of the race. He had been plagued by rumors of infidelity and womanizing. Earlier in the campaign, he challenged reporters to put a tail on me. Evidently, they did. 4 days earlier, reporters published photos of Hart with 29-year-old model Donna Rice sitting on his lap aboard the good ship Monkey Business as it sailed for the Bahamas in the Atlantic Ocean. With his exit, Michael Dukakis assumes the front-runner position. During the month of July 1987, for 3 weeks, the nation is transfixed, watching Lieutenant Colonel Oliver North testifying before a congressional committee about his role in the Iran-Contra affair. Early in 1988, Michael Dukakis and Vice President George Bush go on a string of primary victories across the country. It is not until March 26 that either of them will fail to win a primary. When in Michigan, the Reverend Jesse Jackson takes the Democratic Party caucus, defeating Dukakis by 55% to 28%. Jackson quickly becomes Dukakis's toughest competition, and in April, Jackson carries New York City but loses the state to Dukakis. It is not until June that Dukakis wraps up the nomination with wins in California, Montana, New Jersey, and New Mexico. By the time the DNC gets underway in Atlanta, Georgia, on July 20th, 1988, Michael Dukakis and his newly announced running mate, Lloyd Benson of Texas, hold a comfortable lead over George Bush, according to the polls. After the convention, the race grows tighter after a series of debates, but shifts dramatically to George Bush's favor after Dukakis's efforts to quell criticisms that he knows nothing of the military include a photo op of Dukakis driving a tank. This is usually the one image most people remember of the entire election. Michael Dukakis's head sticking out of a massive tank, a boyish grin etched across his face.
What looked like a cut-and-dried convention with predictable results and predictable speeches turned into something very different in the last 24 hours with the startling announcement from Texas that Ross Perot was abandoning his independent and, in fact, never finally officialized campaign for the presidency. The convention's final session in Madison Square Garden last night was changed completely from what it would have been before by the fact that the delegates and media people and indeed everybody else among the 30 or 40,000 people in attendance was mesmerized by speculation on the possibilities of what would or wouldn't happen to Ross Perot's voters. This is Pacifica Radio's coverage. I'm Larry Bensky, National Affairs Correspondent for Pacifica Radio, joined by Samori Marksman of Pacifica Station WBAI here in New York and Tom Porter, Program Director of WPFW, Pacifica Radio in Washington, D.C. Bill Clinton's speech was to have been the unimpeded headline highlight, but of course with the speculation about Ross Perot, why he did it and what it now means, he was somewhat overshadowed in the news coverage, but he had his spotlight on national primetime TV anyway. In a speech that was just a little over 50 minutes, Clinton hit many themes. He called for what he said would be a new covenant between the voters in the United States and the Democratic government that he hopes will be installed after the election in November. He talked a great deal about his family and about family values, saying how tired he was of hearing family values from Washington's mouth when they were doing their best to undermine family values. But the part of his speech which received the most enthusiastic reception, as the part of most of the speeches at the convention that received most enthusiastic reception, was just good old-fashioned Bush bashing.
Now, George Bush talks a good game, but he has no game plan to rebuild America from the cities to the suburbs to the countryside so that we can compete and win again in the global economy. I do. He won't take on the big insurance companies and the bureaucracies to control health costs and give us affordable health care for all Americans, but I will. He won't even implement the recommendations of his own Commission on AIDS, but I will. He's never balanced a government budget, but I have 11 times. He won't break the stranglehold the special interests have on our elections and the lobbyists have on our government, but I will. He won't give mothers and fathers the simple chance to take some time off from work when a baby is born or a parent is sick, but I will. He's talked a lot about drugs, but he hasn't helped people on the front line to wage that war on drugs and crime, but I will. And you know what else? He doesn't have Al Gore, and I do.
Bill Clinton's acceptance speech last night in Madison Square Garden, he also added one further category that George Bush would not support a woman's right to choose, but he would.
Clinton went on to narrowly win the election over Vice President George Herbert Walker Bush, the first of his two election victories without winning a majority vote. As the 2000 election neared, discontent with the direction the country was headed reached new levels. The country seemed disinterested in both major party candidates, Vice President Al Gore and Texas Governor George W. Bush. Ralph Nader entered the race as a Green, and Arianna Huffington organized shadow conventions to take place literally in the shadow of the Republican and Democratic national conventions in Philadelphia and Los Angeles.
Well, I look at it myself as the beginning, really, of an exploration. That's the reason we're exploring. You don't know what you'll run into on an exploration. What the sky looks like, what the stars look like. Do they still twinkle, or are they a steady light when you get outside the atmosphere?
You're listening to Pacifica Radio's Democracy Now!, broadcasting live from downtown Philadelphia, Center City, and the Independent Media Center, where we have been broadcasting all week as we move into the fourth day of the Republican National Convention. I'm Amy Goodman here with Juan Gonzalez. Well, history was made last night at the Republican Convention, and we're not talking about Dick Cheney's speech. It was what happened on the convention floor while he spoke. What's believed to be the first time in U.S. history, a candidate for president held an impromptu but well-attended press briefing on the convention floor of an opposing party. We're talking about Ralph Nader. In fact, we'd asked him to come to the convention. We wanted him to provide commentary and analysis. The networks think nothing of bringing in opposition Democrats, but these political figures still invariably reinforce the official line. We brought in Ralph Nader as the voice of an outsider who's been excluded from the political process in many ways. But from the moment we arrived, scores of board reporters desperate for a story, as well as delegates and politicians, swarmed around Ralph Nader, the Green Party presidential candidate and well-known consumer advocate, as we began our journey to the convention floor.
Are you ready to office here, Ralph Nader?
How are you doing?
Paul Greenberg is my name from Arkansas.
How are you?
You're going to campaign in Arkansas? You already have campaigned in Arkansas.
Yeah, I was in Arkansas. I've been all 50 states.
Very good. I hear you're very strong in the West.
Mr. Nader, good luck to you.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. Happy to hear your message.
Well, most people are going to see in primetime TV on the network coverage. What do you think? What impression are they going to walk away with from the conventions? Are they going to buy the Republican line, all the diversity and economically and racially?
I think most people look at it, political entertainment, a lot of mutual backslapping, a lot of corporate promotion, a lot of hot air politicians. And that's unfortunate because it leads to cynicism when they see someone like Senator John McCain, who stood for political reform in the primaries, suddenly morph himself into George W. Bush, a man he thought stood directly contrary to his views on campaign finance reform. That's what leads people to be cynical, to drop out, not to vote. And we're trying to bring them back into the political process with a new green political party and our candidacy.
Theo, we're from New Jersey, and you're going to lose big time.
Hey, wait a minute.
Good luck to you, pal.
You wouldn't want that, would you?
We would love it. We would want it with a passion.
What party do you think I represent?
You represent the party of your own twisted ideas, my friend.
I just think the little guy is the one at the disadvantage as far as bringing a lawsuit. The corporate and the large companies do have the advantage of large dollars to fund lawsuits to defeat legitimate claims.
Rominator, what about George Bush's approach to tort reform?
Well, he is contrary to this delegate, state senator from New York. He wants to make it more difficult and erect more barriers for wrongfully injured Americans to have their full day in court against the companies whose dangerous or defective products harm them. And I think that's one of the few differences between the Republicans and the Democrats.
What do you hope to accomplish by being here?
Well, I want to observe the thing in action. It's hard to believe when you see it reported. You have to see it to believe it. I mean, this is the most spectacular display of political cash register politics with corporate fat cats in the history of the country. And it's always good to see the state-of-the-art shamelessly paraded on national TV.
What's your message to the delegates here?
My message is to go home and rethink what they're doing to the country when they sell politics to corporate fat cats in return for political favors. And that's what I say to the Democrats as well. Our democracy is being hijacked by large commercial interests against the interests of everyday people. And we've got to have political reform in this country. I'm very sorry to see John McCain, who had millions of supporters standing for political reform, morph himself into George W. Bush today.
Sir, some states you're drawing at 7 or 8%. Do you think, would you be the spoiler if this race is close?
You can't spoil a political system that's spoiled to the core. We need a new political reform movement in this country. It's not going to come from the Democratic or Republican parties.
What about the political debates, Ralph Nader? Are you going to be included in them? What are you going to do about that?
Public opinion is burgeoning in favor of a four-way debate with me, Buchanan, Bush, and Gore. I think that's what the American people want. They want more choice. They want exciting debates. They don't want to fall asleep in front of the TV set, watching the drab debate the dreary.
Ralph Nader speaking on the floor of the Republican National Convention. While the scripted tradition of pomp and circumstance went on inside the party conventions, Arianna Huffington succeeded in getting enormously diverse speakers from different party affiliations and with different interests, but all of whom shared one interest of returning this country to true democratic practice.
Welcome to Shadow Convention in Los Angeles, the second part of our bi-coastal, bipartisan, by-the-people doubleheader. Everybody is welcome here. In fact, nobody needs to pay $100,000 access fee to get here. And that's our main difference from the other conventions. The Philadelphia Shadow was a big hit. And to borrow one phrase that's going to be used a lot during the DNC convention, you ain't seen nothing yet.
Although the major press outlets in the country largely avoided coverage of the Shadow Convention, Pacifica gave exclusive live coverage throughout. In the spirit of the Shadow Conventions, the late Senator Paul Wellstone gave an energizing, exciting speech to those present in Los Angeles. Senator Wellstone, who would die in a plane crash along with his wife, daughter, and several members of his staff just over a year later during his tough fight for re-election, spoke about the issues he fought so tirelessly for and which set him apart from his colleagues. Here is that speech, set to music and remixed by DJ Sprinkles.
This is most of my adult life as a teacher and writer and community organizer, and now United States Senator. My wife Sheila is here somewhere. Sheila, this combines the focus on reform, getting the big money out of politics, and bringing people back into politics with the economic justice issues. How can it be?
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 Can it be? with record economic performance, record low levels of unemployment, that Republicans and too many Democrats still tell us we can't afford to provide a good education for every child, we can't have health security for every citizen, and that we should tolerate a set of social arrangements that allow children to be the most poverty-stricken people in the United States of America. If you want real welfare reform, focus on a good education, good health care, and a good job. If you want to reduce poverty, focus on a good education, good health care, and a good job. If you want to have a stable middle class, focus on a good education, good health care, and a good job. If you want a country, we're here because we love our country. To do well in an international economy, focus on a good education, good health care, and a good job. The truth of the matter is this. We ought to shout this truth from the mountaintop. We can build 1 million new prisons. We will fill them all up. We will never stop this cycle of violence unless we invest in the health and the skills and the intellect and the character of our children. Focus on a good education. Focus on a good health care. Focus on a good job. That's why we're here at the Shadow Convention! Shadow Convention! Shadow Convention!
One of the more publicized events during the convention in Los Angeles was on the third night when the political rock band Rage Against the Machine played outside the Staples Center. Once the band was finished with its set, the police moved in, attacking the concertgoers. Here is Arianna Huffington speaking to those present at Patriotic Hall the next morning.
If the police had just concentrated on the few vandals and troublemakers, rather than treating everybody, including children and reporters, as dangerous people to be controlled and brought down, yesterday would have been a very different day. And it's the mindset that divides America into two. You know, President Clinton talked yesterday about us being one America. But you know what? That's just empty rhetoric. The reality is, that the police yesterday demonstrated that we are divided into two nations. One inside the Staples Center to be protected at all costs, and then everybody else outside to be controlled and feared.
If this country is only divided in two, we're not as bad as we could be. Throughout our history, our country has been divided in many ways and along many lines. Cornel West, the famed professor from Harvard for many years, now at Princeton, spoke about this country and its history and how to proceed.
40 years ago, Martin King marched the Democratic Convention trying to get a better civil rights platform. 4 years later, he was on the inside and Fannie Lou Hamer was on the outside. Martin Luther King Jr. admitted that he had been absorbed, incorporated. There's too many liberal, progressive, black, red, yellow, brown leaders on the inside who are in the process of being incorporated to such a degree that they're losing sight and focus on precisely the voices that we've heard in East Los Angeles. Many of you know that I supported my dear friend and brother Bill Bradley, as did Paul Wellstone, and we had a good time. And I love him dearly. But I'm an independent. And I'm a free black man. I speak my mind, heart, and soul. And that's why I'm for Brother Ralph Meek. Not because he's a perfect candidate. No candidate is perfect. But for me on personal grounds, I reached a point where working people and poor people are so disregarded and disrespected by a corporate-dominated Democratic Party that you have to begin a new cycle somewhere with somebody. And this broadens the discourse and broadens the engagement, and maybe we can see a little leftward leaning in the Democratic Party. We shall see. We shall see. But in the end, this is all about reinvigorating and regenerating the democratic tradition here and around the world. It's about acknowledging that even though we will experience moments of relative defeat, that we know the world is incomplete and that history is unfinished, that what we do and what we think individually and collectively does make a difference. Let us not lose heart. Let us keep our heads to the sky and our hands on the plow. Let us keep our eyes on the prize. Shadow Convention, you are making a contribution, and we shall see the fruits of our labor down through the corridors of time, hoping, in fact, that the oligarchs will begin to tremble in their boots and either make the concessions or, as Louis Brandeis said so very well, you can have concentration of wealth in the hands of the few or democracy, but you cannot have both. And he's right. Thank you.
Although the shadow conventions were organized as nonprofits and as a result unable to come out in support of any candidates, speakers like Cornel West endorsed Nader, Jesse Jackson Jr. endorsed Gore, and John McCain endorsed George W. Bush. The shadow conventions concentrated on different topics each day, ranging from the failed war on drugs to campaign finance reform. Here's Granny Dee, the grandmother of 12, who walked across the United States in order to get people to register to vote, speaking about the country's great struggle.
The great struggle of the 21st century is underway. All things of human and natural scale, democracy, individual freedom, the healthy earth itself, now is in a struggle for survival against oversized public and private institutions that threaten the position of the individual and the health of the earth. Through the relentless, rapacious march of unregulated, unprincipled greed. Greed powerful enough to have purchased away from us our political leaders and their parties.